My name's are Kayonga Dennis Muganza, and I am a senior at SUNY Oneonta. I'm a music industry student, and before moving here to pursue a college education, I lived in my homeland, Kigali, Rwanda, which is in East Africa.
We travel for business. We travel for pleasure. We travel to expand our minds, whether it's one state over or halfway around the globe. If the world's a book, why only read one page? I'm Elizabeth Hill, and you're listening to a WAMC Northeast Public Radio production. This is Postcards from the Road.
The story that I had to tell my American audience was very different from the stories that I had to tell to my Rwandan audience. When people hear about Rwanda, they think about Hotel Rwanda, but obviously we're more than that, we're a whole country, and like I said, that was 23 years ago.
This past April, I had the opportunity and pleasure to interview Kayonga Dennis Muganza, a.k.a. Darkasi. Darkasi is an aspiring hip-hop artist out of Rwanda who came to America to pursue his education and his career in the musical industry. After wandering around the Oneonta State campus for a bit, we finally found a place to sit, and I asked him about music, culture, travel, and everything in between. This is episode 2. A dark prophecy.
D is for the distant door I dare to die for. A is for the art. What am I life for? R is for hip hop, cause he took my ring. K is for the crown. I'm KGL's king. E is for the emotion that I enter like Easter in eternal spring. See how I became what my prophecy came to. Claim? Y is for. Why is for that question, why that name is major pain? My major pain.
Rwanda is a story of, it's a country that provides a story of resilience, because many people tend to know Rwanda about, because it had one of the most tragic events in recent history, namely the 1994 genocide. But I want people to know that, that's not the country I grew up in. I was born after that, and my whole life I've seen a country develop very well and do very well for its people. So I want people to know that Rwanda, despite the fact that people think it's a negative place or a underdeveloped place, it's a place where you can find people who are working very hard to reach their goals. Growing up, of course, I tried to make sense of what it meant to be a Rwandan. Born in 1994, the year of the genocide. So with time, I tried to find ways to tell the stories, because I found that I was a storyteller. I felt like I could write. With the passion for poetry and passion for music, I ended up making music and using the music to tell the story of Rwanda the way I see it from a modern-day perspective, and from a perspective that sort of gives people a different opinion from what they keep getting from mainstream media, which is all the bad things that happened in Africa, or the, you know, mainstream media always wants people to think of Africa as a dark place, I guess, of a very negative place filled with war and diseases and poverty. But I try to paint a more hopeful and positive picture of where I'm from. When countries are going through hard times, let's call them that, they don't really have the resources or the time, or, you know, to actually focus on those talents and develop stuff like music or art. You know, it's usually during, even in history, you learn about it, like renaissances, or, you know, certain periods when people are prosperous or cultures are prosperous, and they start to make music. And because of that, I mean, that's why most Western countries have had, especially America is a very good example, has had the ability to have, you know, to have so many artists making music and so many movies. So it is very normal, like for the rest of the world, for people to see a lot of Hollywood movies and a lot of American music, because it's mainstream, so sort of global mainstream media.
This white girl loves me. She wants me to marry her. This white girl loves me. Her name is America. This white girl. girl loves me. Her name is
So yeah, growing up I listened to as much, maybe if not more, American music than I did Rwandan music. You know, I heard a lot of Rwandan traditional music, especially because of the nature of it. It's more of live music that people perform, you know.
Mm.
But recorded music and music videos was mostly American, you know. In White Girl, I said it was a metaphor, really, for America. It's sort of like this dream, you know, of anybody, of most people in the world, regardless of the culture, to sort of be embraced by America, and then you become one of the global leaders in whatever entertainment you're doing, you know, or whatever thing you're doing, just because, obviously, if you can make it here, you can make it else. Like, you've made it globally, automatically, which is really why a lot of people do come to America, for that opportunity, for that chance, you know, the land of opportunities to actually achieve something bigger than they could have ever imagined.
This white girl loves me. Her name is America. She's the home of hip-hop music. Home of hip-hop music. This white girl loves me so.
Hip-hop is a music that was built on a societal movement to alter thoughts about race and politics and art. How has that differed in Rwanda versus here? Do you find that there's a difference in your writing style?
Yeah, interestingly enough, when I lived in Rwanda, I made music mostly in English. I think it's because I felt like there were enough artists there making music in our native tongue, Kinyarwanda. And I don't know, I just wanted to give a different perspective of a more globalized youth. I was, in a sense, more privileged than the average Rwandan, and I was exposed to more Western media and more, you know, foreign ideas than the average Rwandan was. So when I was there, I felt like my role was to sort of present that image and to sort of tell my story in that sense as someone who, yeah, who felt like they didn't belong to some degree, just because I was, you know, I felt more globalized. But when I came to America, you know, first of all, I'd never thought of myself as, I never had to walk into a room in my life and think of my race before I came to America. It wasn't that something that I thought of, because I was from a majority black place, and I had never been around people who mostly spoke only one language. That was different too in its own sense, or people who didn't know where I was from. So the story that I had to tell my American audience was very different from the stories that I had to tell to my Rwandan audience. The things I'd rap about in Rwanda on a stage and that made sense didn't necessarily make sense here. So the challenge when I got here was to sort of try to understand which songs of mine would make sense to the American audience and to kind of distinguish why. And now I feel like I'm at a point where I'm trying to find ways to actually mix languages and appease both my audiences, be it here in the US or in Rwanda, where I'm from.
You have your bilingual single that's mm-hmm. out now.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us the story about how that came about?
So, the more I grew up in music, I realized that I used to think that artists sort of lead societal trends, and though that may be true sometimes it's the other way around. I feel like people, artists, like you said, hip-hop is a way to say how they felt about language. And hip-hop is a lot about slang. So what I did is I took a word in my language that's now a trend and that's now a slang based on how women in our culture view themselves, because women from where I'm from tend to be curvy, and actually gisabo means calabash. So the lady who actually came up with this reference for a body, who was a Miss Rwanda contestant, compared her body to a calabash, which is a rather curvy thing.
Is it vegetable? Is it
a calabash? Is a gourd. So like it's shaped in a certain way, and it was interesting, like culturally, because everyone knew what she was referring to. So I thought, hey, why not make a song about self love and to empower women, really, based on the song. It's on the trend that came up in my culture.
Yeah.
gonna be what you wanna be. One thing that I know is I love the G-Sound.
What have you found different about the recording process and the collaborative process between maybe Dark Matters Entertainment and your time here in America?
It took me a while to find out, but I realized that musically I connect better with people who are from where I'm from. I don't know why, but I mean, I think it's because we grew up on similar music. Because whereas, you know, Americans, every American grows up, and you know, I never knew who the Grateful Dead was before I moved here, you know, but that's ridiculous for me to say, because everyone's like, are you serious? Like, or Fish, you know? It's like, obviously, like, we all grow up in different cultures, so the music we grow up hearing affects the music we make. What I've done, of course, which is what many people all over the world have done with the music, even Americans, is I've sort of found a way to keep what was like all those old traditional folk music, mixing it with more urban sounds. You know, I've had a song that I did with one of my friends from Darkman Entertainment, a label I had back home, that, yeah, it had the main instrument as a Kinyarwanda instrument, mm-hmm. but then obviously, and the rhythm, but then it was done on a computer, it was done on an Apple computer, so yeah, I think that's the way to go nowadays, sort of to find that balance between something uniquely yours and what's somewhat mainstream, somewhat commercial, because then you find a fine balance where you're not selling yourself out, and you're also, yeah, giving the people what they want to hear and something that they actually identify with. I feel like, and this is my personal opinion, that being where I'm from, where we had to sort of adapt to the rest of the world, learn different languages, we also learned different music styles, and we sort of maneuver around genres more fluidly, I'd say, than most people who, you know, at least in America, because I feel like in America, I know most of the music people here know, but they don't know what I know. And maybe I prefer different music. So when I'm working with people from back home, I feel like rhythmically and in many ways, they understand my music better.
When you're traveling abroad, it's crucial to be conscious of cultural differences, no matter where you go. But I wanted to switch gears and talk to Kayanga about where he's been, what he wants to see, and where he would take me if we were to hop on a plane and travel to Rwanda together.
It's very different, I think, living in where I'm from, in a developing country, especially where I lived. I feel like I always knew about, I had a good idea about how many states there are in America. I knew about many monuments in America. You know, it's not common for Americans to know that about where I'm from, because I guess they don't feel the need to, but I always, I always knew about, like, what was out there, and that, obviously, I wanted to see some places in America, just like I want to see the Eiffel Tower in France, but I haven't had a chance to, but, I always wanted to see New York, of course, everybody wants to see New York, and when I saw it, I was a bit overwhelmed at first. It was too much, like, and on TV, in the TV shows, you feel like you're the person in the, you know, the character is the protagonist, and everyone really kind of care, like, you know, they have some attention, but when I was there on my own, nobody really cared, and everyone was going left and right, so I felt kind of out of place. But yeah, of course, I got used to it, and I love New York. The greatest thing I've seen so far has to be the Grand Canyon. I went to Arizona last spring, and I saw it, and it was amazing, just because it looked like a painting.
How long did you stay out there?
I went to Arizona for a week. It was actually an interesting cultural immersion. We went and saw the border, the southwest border that literally has a wall, actually. And we got to see both sides, the Mexican side and the American side. We talked to, like, Border Patrol. We went to court, immigration court. And it just changed my life, especially as an immigrant in this time in America. And the fact that, you know, my parents were refugees for so many years because of what was going on in Rwanda, like, their whole life. So it really, like, it's probably one of the most life-changing things I've seen in my time here in Oneonta, just because it was so real, seeing it right in front of you. We actually got to talk to people who had been detained, and it made me sort of reevaluate my position in life and what my existence really means.
Is it as big of a thing in Rwanda as it is in America for immigration and keeping people out?
No, it's quite the contrary. I think it's because of the nature of our country. Because, I mean, many people who are the people in the government in Rwanda have been, in their life, they've been underprivileged. They've been maybe the people who had to be the ones to immigrate because they had to go and seek opportunities. So I think they do hold a what America would call a more liberal point of view, because, for instance, Burundi had a because Burundi and Rwanda, they have very similar pasts,
mm-hmm.
and though Rwanda has sort of overcome them, Burundi is still struggling to overcome those ethnic problems and whatnot, and, you know, all these political problems. So when Burundi was going through a lot of civil unrest, as you called it, the government of Rwanda said, hey, if you're willing to come to Rwanda, you know, we'll accept you. And moreover, if you're educated and you have diplomas and whatnot, we encourage you to work, because we take it more like a human resource, you know. Even though Rwanda is very densely populated and has a lot of people for its small size, we still felt the need to take in the neighbor and to actually help them out, you know. At least it was a natural thing for us to do, and this is what matches our culture of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's sort of strange for me to see how it is in America, but, you know, I guess that's why I'm an artist, so I can give my, I can provide my two cents.
What cultural barriers, if any, did you experience when you first moved to America?
I mean, things like that. People are not, they're not as hospitable here. Not necessarily, that's not very true. Maybe I'm being mean there, but people are not always as friendly. Not because they're not friendly or they choose to be mean, but it's just that, you can meet somebody today, exchange a few words to them, and see them tomorrow, and they won't even say hi to you, which is strange. Like, yeah, people here just like they're more focused on what they're doing. It's an individualistic society, whereas where I'm from, it's more of a collective society. Here, it's so common to see people walking by themselves, going to where they're going. It's subtle things, you know, just the way people treat food in America. That people are always eating for some reason. Like back home, it's like there's certain times you eat, and certain times it's kind of weird, you know. If you're walking in the streets and you have a bag of chips, it's pretty weird back home. Like why is this guy with a bag of chips? It's kind of random, you know? But here it's pretty normal, you know, Dunkin' Donuts as you walk, and, you know, it's kind of out of place there, you know? You're doing too much. Go find a place to sit down and eat, you know? So it's subtle things, but they make a difference.
Are there places in Rwanda that if you and I were to hop on a plane, you would want me to see, because that's the national treasure, or maybe just a really cool spot mm-hmm. that most people wouldn't think of Rwanda?
When people come to Rwanda, you know, when people hear about Rwanda, they think about Hotel Rwanda, but obviously we're more than that, we're a whole country, and like I said, that was 23 years ago, and a lot can change in 23 years. But yeah, if you were to hop on a plane, the best things I would like you to see would be, number one on the list has to be our national treasure, the mountain gorilla. And to explain what a mountain gorilla is, I always hate to say this, but I always say, have you seen Tarzan? People say yes, and I say, have you seen the gorillas? There's a big silverback one and the little ones, and they say yes, and they say, yeah, we have that, because it's actually based right there, right on the border of Rwanda and Congo, in the Virunga Mountains, where you can find mountain gorillas. They're very intelligent. They know how to differentiate people, or remember people. So, yeah, that's worth checking out. That's on the western side of Rwanda. On the eastern side, we have Akagera National Park, where you can see more, you know, safari-type things, antelopes, elephants, lions, you name it. But then, like, you know, right in the middle of the country, you have the city, the Kigali city, of course, which is a great place to party and, you know, great nightclubs and great nightlife. Also very peaceful. I don't know how that's possible, being so quiet and peaceful, but also great nightlife. Like when you drive around at night, it's very quiet, but, you know, it has a great nightlife, so it's weird. But yeah, there's a lot to see. You just have to check it out. It is a small country. I found out recently that it's like a tenth of the size of New York State.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wow. But it has as many people as New York City. I love my city.
love my city. My city. I love my city. I love my city and I know it well. I'm in love with you.
Love with you.
I'm straight out of KGL, DRW. And I promise to keep you real, you know I always do. Look up to your vision, I'm reflecting and respecting you. Turned out to be a spectacle, turned out to be a spectacle. I used to dream, was never skeptical. Where my messy flow got flexible. Incredible how I guessed it like it ought to be. The right pen and paper had to write the prophecy. I probably had to lay it down properly.
Postcards from the Road is a WAMC Northeast Public Radio production. Music in today's episode is by Darkasy. Featured tracks include Pain, Jisabo, White Girl, and Forbidden. For more information on these tracks and others, visit darkasy.com. That's DARKECY.com. Our theme music is Cherry Blossom Wonders by Kevin MacLeod. And as always, if you like what you hear, subscribe on your audio app of choice. Visit WAMCpodcasts.org for more information.